Welcome to Season 6 of the Food for Your Soul podcast, where we apply the Word of God to the hearts of men and women to stoke the fires of your delight in Christ. This season of the podcast is devoted to the greatest sermon ever preached, the Sermon on the Mount, where Jesus teaches His people about life in the Kingdom of God.
We have recently begun a study of the Sermon on the Mount. We've come through the Beatitudes now to number 4 in Matthew 5, 6. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, and they will be filled. Well, okay, well, what is righteousness? Let's talk about that. That's crucial. Righteousness basically means to be right with someone. It's a relational term. It means to be right with someone. In the Old Testament context back then, in ancient times, they used to use that word to refer to behavior that would place you in someone else's good graces. So back then, just the secular people, not in a religious context, in a secular context, the people back then would use the word righteousness in regular speech, and they would use it to describe good relationships between various parties based on behavior. So, for example, righteousness toward the government was behavior that gave you favor with them. You know, you follow their laws, you pay the taxes, you show loyalty, and in return, you're in a good standing with the government. That they would call that righteousness with respect to the government. That's the way this word was used. Righteousness towards your wife was whatever behavior it took to have her be happy with you. Righteousness in the context of a covenant or a contract was behavior that fulfilled the terms of the covenant so that you were in good standing with the other party. Now, the Bible writers used that term, that secular term, in reference to God. Righteousness towards God in the Old Testament was behavior that fulfilled the terms of His covenant, which was in the Old Testament times the law, and showed you to be a person who had God's favor and God's approval. If you are righteous, it means everything is right between you and God. That's what righteous means with respect to God. And it's important for us to understand that background, that Old Testament background, because the Sermon on the Mount is basically a sermon about righteousness. It's almost a whole sermon on righteousness. Specifically, that what righteousness looks like now in the kingdom, now that the Messiah is here, what is righteousness all about? And if you go through the whole Sermon on the Mount, summarize each thing Jesus says, says about righteousness, and put it all together in one definition, here's what you get. Righteousness is good deeds, internal and external, done out of obedience to Jesus Christ for the glory of God that enable nearness to God. Righteousness is good deeds, internal and external, done out of obedience to Christ for the glory of God that enable nearness to God. So what does that look like? What does a righteous life look like? What sort of life has the approval and favor of God in this kingdom? It's a life of obedience and loyalty to Jesus Christ. That is both internal and external obedience. Now, that definition, there's 5 parts to that definition. All 5 are crucial. You take one out and you don't have righteousness. You've got to have all 5 in order for it to actually be righteousness. So let's look at the 5. First, good deeds. If you look down at verse 16 in Matthew 5, it says, in the same way, let your light shine before men so that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. So righteousness is good deeds that conform to God's will as expressed through His law. And that's the very next thing He says. Verse 17, do not think that I have come to abolish the law. It's all about the law. Verse 19, anyone who breaks one of the least of these commandments and teaches others to do the same will be called least in the kingdom of heaven. So God had revealed His will through His law, His will for our behavior. And righteousness involves living in accordance with that with respect to your actions. So it's good deeds. It's good deeds. But in order for it to be real righteousness, those good deeds have to be both external and internal. The religious leaders, the big problem with the religious leaders at the time of Jesus that He was always correcting was they had developed this system where they're following a lot of external rules. They're doing all the religious actions, but internally, it wasn't affecting them. Verse 20 of chapter 5. Look down there. He says, for I tell you that unless your righteousness surpasses that of the Pharisees and the teachers of the law, you'll certainly not enter the kingdom of heaven. So he just got done talking about being great or small in the kingdom. But now, if your righteousness isn't better than theirs, you don't even get in. Well, what was wrong with theirs? Well, it was skin deep. It was only on the outside. It wasn't on the inside. It didn't touch the heart. And to illustrate that, what Jesus means by that, he gives the whole rest of the chapter 5 examples of what he means. He says, you say, do not murder. That's something on the outside. That has to do with actions. I say, don't even hate. And when a relationship is broken, reconcile the broken relationship. That has to do with the inside. And Jesus moves to another example then. Don't commit adultery. That's something done with the body. I say, don't even lust. That's something done with the heart. Next, he says, do the legal paperwork when you get a divorce. Make sure you sign all the papers and follow the rules. But I say, just be faithful to your spouse in marriage. You've heard it's okay to hate your enemies. I say, love your enemies. So you see, righteousness has to penetrate to the heart or it's not righteousness. It's not real. All those examples are involving interpersonal relationships, interactions with people. That's righteousness with regard to people, friends, family, spouse, enemies, whatever. We need to have good works that arise from a heart of love. Then in the next chapter, chapter 6, he makes the same point, except now instead of interactions with people, it's interactions between you and God. Prayer, fasting, and giving. And still, it all has to come from the heart. Your interactions with people have to come from the heart. Your interactions with God have to come from the heart. Those people back then already knew that righteousness involves deeds, good deeds. They understood point one, part one of this definition. They knew that it's all about good deeds, but Jesus hammers away showing them that it has to be goodness on the inside, not just on the outside. The inside is crucial, but I should also add, so is the outside. Don't think that the inside is the only thing that matters. It's important that we think both inside and outside. I need to emphasize that because there are some people who, I think, forget that. They focus only on the inside, and you know, they'll spend hours in prayer, and they spend hours in Bible study, and their devotions are rich and deep and profound and amazing and delightful, and they're singing to the Lord in private worship and all day long, and they've got this great personal interaction with God, but somehow it doesn't end up getting translated into love and gentleness and humility and kindness and patience with people. They get done with all those fabulous devotions and then they go to work and they're short with the people around them and they're easily angry and they're hard to get along with and they're argumentative and they're selfish. It's not righteousness. No matter how wonderful your private worship and prayer times and relationship with God is, unless that intimacy with God finds an expression in actually loving the people God loves, then it's not righteousness. We saw that again and again and again in 1 John. Remember when we went through 1 John? For example, 1 John 4:20, anyone who does not love his brother whom he has seen cannot love God whom he has not seen. So you think you love God, you don't love your brother, you don't really love God. It's a phony love. When we have sweet intimacy with God, but somehow it doesn't translate into love for God's people, it's imagined intimacy. It's not real. Because it's impossible to love God without loving those he loves. So righteousness is good deeds, both internal and external. Those are the first two parts. Then the third part, it's good deeds that are done out of love and loyalty to the Lord Jesus Christ for that motive. And you can see that a few places. Like, for example, look at verse 10. Look at Matthew 5:10 and compare it with verse 11. Jesus said, blessed, this is the last beatitude, blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness. Then verse 11, blessed are you when people insult you and persecute you and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. So you see how because of righteousness and because of me are parallel. They're talking about the same thing. They mean essentially the same thing because righteousness is living in a certain way because of Christ. You see that? Now, because remember, righteousness is a relational word. It's not just an action word. It's a relational word. It's behavior that pleases the person so that you're not at odds with that person. And in the kingdom of the Messiah, righteousness is focused totally on the King. He's the one you need to be right with. When an unbeliever does seemingly good things, your neighbor, who's a really nice guy, he's not a Christian, but he's just a really nice guy, and he shows kindness, and he helps the poor, and he's telling the truth, and he's dealing honestly in business, and he's just doing all kinds of great stuff. None of that is righteousness. It's not righteousness because the motive is something other than loyalty to Jesus Christ. And so it's not righteousness. That's one of the reasons why it's impossible for a person to be saved who's never heard the name of Christ. I know that's a debate among some people. It shouldn't be a debate. If you've never heard the name of Christ, you cannot be saved. If they've never heard the name of Christ, then obviously their motive for doing whatever good deeds they're doing is not obedience to Christ because they never heard of Him. Therefore, it's not righteousness. One of the reasons the people were so astonished at Jesus' authority whenever He preached is because He always pointed to Himself as the final, ultimate authority that needed to be obeyed. Instead of, you know, the prophets, the scribes, the rabbis, everyone else, they pointed to Scripture. They always pointed to Scripture. They said, wait, obey that. That's the authority. That's the standard. Jesus said, just obey me. Just obey me. You'll be just fine. Look at the, skip over to chapter 7 there. The end of the sermon. Verse 24. That's how Jesus ends the sermon. It says, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. Verse 26, everyone who hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice like a foolish man builds his house in the sand. The rain came down, streams arose, winds blew, beat against that house, and it fell with a great crash. And when Jesus had finished saying these things, the crowd were amazed at His teaching because He taught as one who had authority, not as the teachers of the law. He's saying your whole life is going to stand or fall based on whether you obey me, my words. So righteousness is good deeds, internal and external, done for the sake of Christ. And then the fourth part, for the glory of God, verse 16 of chapter 5, let your light shine before men so they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. All our good deeds need to be the kind of good deeds that attract attention to the glory of God instead of attracting attention to us. So people are impressed with Him. Chapter 6, he talks about righteousness with respect to dealing with God. Remember I mentioned that prayer, fasting, and giving. And the very first verse sets the tone for that whole chapter, Matthew 6, 1. He says, be careful not to perform your righteousness before men to be seen by them. If you do, you'll have no reward from your Father in heaven. They need to be done for the purpose of seeking God and bringing glory to God, not for the purpose of bringing glory to yourself. Because if that's the purpose, it's actually sinful, it's not righteousness. So that's righteousness. It's good deeds, internal and external, done out of obedience to Christ for the glory of God. That's righteousness. That's what it is. The blessing here is for those who, when they have that emptiness in their soul, what they long for, what they think will really solve the problem, will be righteousness. Blessed are those folks. That's the Beatitudes.
Thank you for listening. We pray that in this series your life will be transformed by the soaring ethics, deep insights, and glorious promises of the Sermon on the Mount. We are crowd-funded ministry, so if you would like this podcast to continue, please consider supporting us with a tax-deductible gift. Just go to treasuringgod.com and click on Give. Until next time, rejoice in the Lord always and set your mind on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God.